Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton Game. This is Millennial Money, and today we're talking, is pet insurance really worth the hype?
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton Game. It will expand your brain.
I have the biggest doggy fever ever, and you don't even understand. I am the most unlikely candidate for a dog. I never had pets when I was growing up as a kid because my dad was just so ridiculously allergic to every type of pet. So my brother had rabbits, and we would keep them outside. But, you know, a rabbit is like a perfectly acceptable pet, but it's not a pet that you really cuddle with. You know, the rabbits would come inside and they'd hop around and they would, you know, leave their little rabbit droppings around. And they were great pets for people who couldn't really have a pet, but I didn't really feel that emotional connection with the rabbits. And then after I graduated college, I got cats for the first time. And that was such a unusual experience because, you know, I'd never had like an indoor pet before, but one of my cats, her name was Sophie, and she is so fitting of the name Sophie. If you can picture what Sophie looks like in your head, you probably are like dead on. She was this white, fluffy cat. She had the cutest little like gray birthmark on her nose, and she was just full of personality. She would come when you would call her name, and she would sit with me on the couch, and she was really like, you know, my friend. If I was sick, she would come and check on me. I mean, she was just like the most amazing pet I have ever had. And she passed away after 10 years, and it literally broke my heart. And to this day, I miss her. I miss like that emotional connection with a pet that I never thought I would have that feeling. And So I've always been kind of an anti-dog person. Like, if you know me, you know that I am terrified when somebody is like walking on the sidewalk next to me and has a dog. I'm always like skirting behind the person next to me or like throwing Jeff out in front of me. I'm afraid of like being bitten, or I don't really know other people's dogs. And, you know, a lot of people just let their dog almost like roam free. And I'm always like, oh my God, like, I don't know if that dog's going to eat me or what's going to happen. Now, of course, I've never been eaten by a dog before, but Jeff actually was bitten by a dog on one of our walks. So that makes me even more just petrified anytime there's a dog that walks by me. I don't know that dog, right? I don't have emotional connection to that dog. I don't know how it was raised. I don't know what it's been trained to do or not do. So about 6 weeks ago, maybe 8 weeks ago, I had a terrible bout of the flu. Hopefully you've not had the flu, because it has just been horrendous this season. And my very, very first outing was to a mall near us, and they have a pet store. And I know that pet stores and malls, it's terrible, right? They're usually like puppy mills and it's just not a good scene. But we went into the store in the mall and I literally just fell to pieces. The cutest puppies I have ever seen in my entire life. And I felt the like biggest sense of joy and happiness that I felt like in a really long time, which is really sad to admit, but I think it sort of unlocked that place in me that Sophie, you know, took care of, because it was really like, I think, like therapy for me, you know, to have a pet and to have something to take care of, but then also something that was like, you know, unconditionally loved me back. And so I felt that like feeling well up in me again. And we walked out of the pet store and I looked at Jeff and I said, I want a dog. I want a puppy first and I want a dog. And he looked at me like I was straight from outer space, because the entire time he's known me, I have never wanted a dog, never thought about a dog, never talked about a dog. And seriously, since that day, all I'm done is talk about dogs, look up breeds on my Instagram feed. It is just a streaming mess of all sorts of different breeds of dogs. And, you know, I look at them and I can like see their little personalities, and I can see them like, you know, barking back at me, like so happy to, to have me as an owner, hopefully. And it's funny, I keep showing Jeff like all these pictures of dogs and he's like, they all look the same. I'm like, no, they don't. Look at their little faces. Like, they're so different and they've got such different little personalities. So yes, I have terrible dog fever. I'm not getting a dog anytime soon, though. That's the problem. We don't really live someplace that is conducive for a dog at the moment. But hopefully in the near future, a puppy will be on the horizon, because I just think that there is something very therapeutic. And if you have a pet that you love, I'm sure that you have that same feeling. Like, if you come home from a crappy day at work and that pet's there waiting on you, there's just something great about it that I can't explain. It's not like having a kid or, you know, even your spouse, because let's face it, they talk back to you and you don't always like what comes out of their mouth. But a pet is just so happy to see you. And sometimes I think in life we just need somebody or something that's just so happy to see us. And so this really got me thinking about, obviously being the financial planner in me, I go straight to, okay, what is actually the cost of owning a pet? Like, I want to know, full disclosure ahead of time, what I would be getting myself into, because I have worked with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who, you know, something has happened to their beloved pet and it has caused a huge financial rift for the couple, or, you know, in their finances, or they've had to make, you know, sacrifices. I was working with somebody a few years ago who had saved all this money to go on a trip to Hawaii, and his dog came down with an illness, and it was going to take like the exact amount of money that he had saved to go to Hawaii to have surgery on his dog. And, you know, he was just so like torn what to do. I mean, obviously he spent the money to have the surgery for his dog. But, you know, luckily he had saved that money too. But there's been plenty of situations where people are just really struggling to pay these vet bills and, you know, having to make really tough choices about what to do with your pet. And, you know, I think pets are one of those things where, you know, we love them, we enjoy them, and we don't anticipate that they're going to be a budget buster, but, you know, they can be. You know, a pet is going to cost money. There's really no way around it. Not as much as having a kid, right? So there's an upside of that, but it's going to cost you some money every month. I mean, all the obvious stuff. You've got food, you've got toys that you buy them, you know, puppy classes and crates and, you know, all sorts of things like that. The obvious stuff. But then, you know, it's the not obvious stuff, I think, is where, you know, it gets to be a really dicey situation when those come up. And, you know, if you look at the statistics, we talk about this on the podcast all the time, you know, the amount of people that have $1,000 saved in an emergency fund is a really small percentage in the U.S. Now, millennials on the whole, you guys are savers. You save money almost to a fault. You know, it's the balance between saving and then investing that money so it can actually grow upwards for you. Because if it's just sitting in a bank account or just sitting in a savings account, it's not going anywhere for you. You know, you've got the cash, which is great. That is an awesome first step, but we need to actually like launch that cash off and have it grow for you. But that's a whole other subject. The point is, you know, if we don't have these savings, we don't have an emergency fund in place for ourselves, and we have a pet and, you know, a big expense comes up with the pet, then, you know, we're screwed, right? We got to go to debt. We got to go to a credit card or sell something or figure out some way to pay for that surgery or that vet bill or whatever it may be. And so I got to thinking, you know, I really want to understand what pet insurance is all about. And does pet insurance make sense? Is it affordable? Does it cover what, you know, I would want covered if I'm paying a monthly fee for pet insurance? So obviously, if I'm wondering that, I'm pretty sure that probably a lot of you are wondering it as well. There are a lot of people that, you know, don't think pet insurance is needed, but to me, it's just like car insurance. You know, we have to have car insurance, A, but, you know, B, it's not like you can get in an accident and then get car insurance. It's the same thing with pet insurance. And, you know, I think one of the smartest money moves that I have learned over the years is how to leverage somebody else's cash. So if we think about it, let's just say, I'm just picking a number out of thin air here, but let's say it cost us $25 a month for pet insurance. So that's $300 a year. All right. And let's say we have that, we own that pet for 10 years and we have the whole pet insurance for 10 years. That's $3,000. It's a lot of money. Yeah, I'll give you that. But here are some interesting statistics on how much it actually costs if you don't have pet insurance. So common ailments like joint injuries, dogs can cost somewhere around $3,500. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original.
Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle, full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them. But vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Right? If your furry friend has swallowed something that, you know, they weren't supposed to swallow and you need to get it out, that can be around $1,700, $1,800. If they're diagnosed with cancer, which 12 million pets annually are diagnosed with some sort of cancer, that could set you back about, you know, $2,000 or so. So the American Pet Products Association, they estimate that pet owners will spend $16.6 billion on vet care in 2017, which is an increase from $15.9 billion in 2016. So what does that tell you? That tells you that vets are probably charging more for these procedures, and more pets are coming down with some sort of injury or ailment or cancer or whatever it may be, where, you know, you actually need the pet insurance. So if we do the math, even with a deductible in place, we pay for the pet insurance, we're ahead of the game if just one thing goes wrong with our pet. Just one thing, right? So if you never use it, which seems unlikely to me, you can just consider it, you know, the cost of doing business. You know, you never want to use your insurance. That's the thing. You never really want to have to use it, but it's there, and you don't have to have a full-on panic attack if something happens, or you're not faced with a terrible decision of, I don't have the cash for this, but I really love my pet. Like, that's a really tough decision to make. And so, you know, if we could come up with $25 or $30 a month, to me, this just seems like a worthwhile expense. So I wanted to talk to the experts, find out more about pet insurance, and find out really what we need to know about this. So I went to my friend Jennifer Fitzgerald at Policy Genius. Policy Genius is an amazing company. We've had them on the podcast several times. They have all sorts of different insurance that you can apply for online, really quick, really easy. But one of their things that they sell is pet insurance. And so I actually had gone on their site before we had chatted and looked up different types of pet insurance just to get a feel. But I wanted to find out more of the particulars about what pet insurance covers and what it doesn't cover.
So Jennifer, I understand that you have as big of a love of pets as I do. What is your, do you have a favorite pet? Do you have a pet? Have you had a childhood pet that you love?
I've always grown up with pets. We've all, in my home growing up, we had dogs, we had birds. But my favorite pet currently is my dog, Ruby. She's a 4-year-old mutt that I adopted from an animal rescue 4 years ago.
Oh, how nice. I love that. I have doggy fever right now. So I'm always asking everyone, you know, what kind of dog do you have? Do you like the dog? Is the dog good? Does the dog chew everything? You know, all those curious questions.
They're high maintenance when they're puppies, but once they get out of that phase, it's like literally the best decision you can ever make.
That's really good to hear. So, you know, there's so much confusion around pet insurance. You know, I myself, thinking about getting a dog, I've kind of been looking around at pet insurance. And, you know, I wonder if we could just chat for a few minutes about what most pet insurance covers and maybe a few things that it doesn't cover.
Sure. The first thing to understand about pet insurance is that it doesn't work exactly like health insurance, which is a good thing, I think, in most cases. So you can go to any vet, you pay your bill at the vet, and then you submit that bill to your pet insurance company for reimbursement. So that's generally how it works. There's no network. There's no doctor's networks or anything like that you have to worry about. Pet insurance is designed to cover unexpected expenses. So think about accidents, think about illnesses, things that are unexpected, right? So if your dog swallows a sock and needs surgery, if your dog tears his ACL muscle, if your dog develops cancer or some condition that needs treatment, that's what pet insurance is designed to cover, is those unexpected expenses for your pet's health. What most pet insurance doesn't cover, if you add an additional rider to it at an additional cost, is expected expenses. Think of your annual wellness exam. Think about flea and tick medication. Think about heartworm medication. annual immunizations. Most pet insurance won't cover that unless you add an additional wellness rider. So I think that's kind of the big misunderstanding about pet insurance. So pet insurance is designed to cover those unexpected and, you know, what could be catastrophic expenses. Your typical regular expected expenses, you know, you should just save for and budget as a pet owner.
Yeah, that's great. That's great to know. So, you know, for somebody who's thinking about pet insurance, you know, how can they weigh out whether this is an expense that makes sense for them? Is there any guideline for, you know, the average cost of pet insurance or what someone might be thinking in terms of cost savings here?
Sure. So, you know, the average pet insurance policy, there's two types of pet insurance. Which is the less expensive version, is an accident-only policy. So it'll cover accidents, right? So if your pet swallows that sock, like I mentioned, or swallows a tennis ball, gets hit by a car, you know, ingests a poisonous mushroom in the backyard, any sort of accident would be covered. So the medical cost of treating that accident. But any illnesses like cancer hip dysplasia would not be covered, right? So that's one type of pet insurance. And so it'll cover those accidents. And that's going to be cheaper. You can get accident-only insurance for like anywhere from, you know, $12 to $20 a month, typically, depending on the age of your pet and, you know, where you live. The other type of pet insurance is a comprehensive policy that'll cover accidents and illnesses. So it'll cover everything that we talked about plus illnesses. And, you know, even with that comprehensive coverage, it's not that expensive. You know, depending, again, on the age of your pet and the breed of your pet, a comprehensive policy can range anywhere from, you know, $25 up to, you know, $45 or $50 for a very comprehensive plan. So I'll just give you a personal example. For my dog, Ruby, she's a 25-pound mutt. I got her pet insurance as soon as I got her as an 8-week-old puppy. I think my premiums when I started were about $27 a month. And currently they're probably around $35 a month. So for me, it's like peace of mind. I don't even notice the charge on my credit card, but I know if, you know, I have a $5,000 vet bill because she needs emergency surgery or chemotherapy treatment, that's covered.
Yeah, and that is a big saver in your budget. You know, it's crazy when, you know, obviously your pet gets sick and you want to take care of your pet and suddenly you're staring down a $5,000 bill. And, you know, when we're already exactly struggling to save $1,000 in emergency funds as a, you know, America on whole, that's a lot of cash. Mm-hmm. And it starts to, you know, put you in the places you don't want to, you don't want to be in, where you have to start taking on debt and, you know, doing all sorts of things just to take care of that pet that you love.
Or face the, you know, really tough decision that a lot of families face, and there's even a term for it, and it's called economic euthanasia, right? So, yep. You know, if you're looking at a $5,000 emergency surgery to save your pet's life, you know, and you can't come up with that cost or whatever, I mean, it's a very difficult decision for folks. And, you know, spending $25 to $35 a month to not have to face that decision, you know, that's what pet insurance is for. It's for those unexpected things that'll really put you in a bind, as opposed to, oh, why didn't I save, you know, on the $50 I had to spend for heartworm medication, right? So, you know, for 30, you know, around 30 bucks a month, and you can get a little bit cheaper, a little bit expensive, depending on the features you add to the plan, you can have that peace of mind that for, you know, worst case scenarios, big unexpected expenses, you will, you know, have that coverage in place.
Yeah, for sure. And does pet insurance mainly just cover, you know, like dogs and cats, or does it cover other types of pets as well?
It's mostly for dogs and cats. There are a couple policies out there that will cover exotic pets like birds or reptiles. But the most common use case is going to be for dogs and cats.
Yeah, that makes sense, of course. So tell us a little bit about, you know, Policy Genius and the pet insurance and kind of the process that somebody would go through to, you know, applying for pet insurance.
Absolutely. So we've built, so we're a platform where you can go and shop and compare for different types of insurance. And we have a marketplace for pet insurance. So we have a lot of most of the top pet insurance companies on our platform. So you can enter information about your pet, the types of coverage that you want, and then you can compare those plans side by side. I mean, really the big decision that you're going to have to make around pet insurance is, do you want the accident only or the comprehensive plan, right? Because that's going to determine most of the cost. And then from there, the thing that you have to figure out and just decide what fits your budget is, much like auto insurance, like how big of a deductible you want. And then what kind of reimbursement percentage. So those are the two toggles that you have to think about. So deductible, it works the same way like a health insurance or auto insurance deductible. So when you make a claim, that's the cost that you're responsible for to pay out of pocket before coverage kicks in. Deductibles on pet insurance, you know, can be anywhere from $0 all the way up to, you know, just $100 or $200. So not that big. And then the other decision to make is the reimbursement percentage that you want. So you could go typically as low as 60 or 70% up to 90% of the vet bill, right? So this is reimbursement is done as a percentage of the vet bill that you submit for a claim. You can choose what percentage you want. Obviously, the higher percentage you choose for reimbursement, the higher premium is going to be. So on our site, you can see what the cost impact is of going with a lower deductible or a higher reimbursement rate. But that's really it. I mean, most like pet insurance is pretty comparable. There's going to be differences at the margin. Like, do they cover alternative therapies like hydrotherapy or acupuncture for your pet? But for, you know, most people, it's really about just locking in that coverage and a deductible and reimbursement rate that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of people have submitted questions about pet insurance, and there's a lot of, I think, confusion over, well, if I get pet insurance, what if, you know, my vet doesn't take pet insurance? Do most vets accept mm-hmm. this type of insurance?
So you don't even have to answer that question because it's not like health insurance in that respect. So when you take your pet to the vet, you know, the pet gets treated, you pay the vet bill directly out of your own pocket, right? So, and then you submit that as a claim to the pet insurance company. So you get reimbursed, the vet doesn't get reimbursed.
Ah, I see. And, you know, is that...
So that's how it works differently from health insurance. Like you pay the vet bill and then you submit that vet bill to the insurance company as a claim, as opposed to health insurance where, you know, there's a complicated relationship where the insurance company pays the doctor, or sometimes you pay the doctor. With pet insurance, it's very straightforward. Go whatever vet you want, pay the bill, and then submit that bill to the insurance company.
Ah, that makes sense. Yes. Yeah, so if somebody was interested coming online to apply for pet insurance, what type of information would they need to have handy to apply?
It's pretty straightforward. So pet insurance companies will ask for, you know, your pet type, dog or cat, breed, to the extent that you know it. And you can always just put, you know, mixed breed. They'll typically ask for the pet size in terms of weight and age, if you know it. So, you know, for a lot of rescues, it's kind of an approximate age, which is totally fine. And then they'll typically ask you if there are any known pre-existing conditions. If you don't know, that's fine. Typically with the first claim that you submit, they'll pull your vet's records to see if this is a pre-existing condition. And this is an important thing to understand and also a source of confusion is that, you know, pre-existing conditions aren't covered for pet insurance. So, for example, if your pet's already been diagnosed with an illness or, you know, cancer or what have you, you can't get pet insurance after that that covers that. It'll cover everything else, new diagnoses, new accidents, but it won't cover that pre-existing condition.
Interesting. That is definitely good to know for sure. And you definitely don't want to try and cheat around that for sure.
Yeah. And then, you know, they'll find out because they'll pull the records from your vet to see if it's been diagnosed before. And a lot of people say, you know, well, that's not fair. I don't need pet insurance unless I get pet sick. But the same thing like auto insurance, right? Like you know, wouldn't drive a car uninsured, get into an accident, and then get auto insurance and expect the auto insurance company to pay for it. You know, it's kind of the same thing that, so the best thing is, if you're thinking about adopting a puppy or a dog, just, you know, get pet insurance as soon as you can. That way, everything from that point forward is a new, you know, a new condition or a new accident that would be covered. But ultimately, you want to hope that your dog lives a long and healthy life.
Yes, for sure.
That's accident free.
So if somebody was to apply for pet insurance today, would it be active right away? Or how long does that process actually take?
So it'll be active right away. For certain things, again, to prevent kind of the buy it when your pet's already been sick, there might be a waiting period. So for things like an ACL muscle tear, there'll be a waiting period where, you know, any claim submitted within the first like 30 days wouldn't get paid for. That's prevent, you know, people notice their dog limping, they get pet insurance, and then they go in to have surgery for the dog. So they'll, for certain things, there'll be a waiting period, or they'll just ask, you know, for your pet's full records on that first claim. But by and large, it's effective as, you know, as soon as you pay the first premium.
I mean, it seems really compelling to me, does it not? Does it? It seems like such a worthwhile expense just to know that, you know, when, because something is going to happen to our pet, whether it's a dog or a cat, when something happens that we're able to use the pet insurance, yes, I understand that is reimbursement, so we do need to pay it up front, but we know we're going to be able to get that cash back. And I think that's going to just help you sleep at night better. It's going to help you feel better. And I think it's going to help you enjoy your pet better. That's just my humble opinion. So head on over to policygenius.com. I'll have the link in the show notes, and you can apply for pet insurance on there. You can find out all sorts of different information that you are curious about, questions that you have about pet insurance. It's just a great resource. And so I'm super excited, because when I get a puppy, I'm definitely going to get pet insurance. I just feel like it would make me feel so much better to know that my little doggy is going to be taken care of. I already have his name picked out, by the way. It has to be a him. So I am in love with the name Winston. For some reason, I just think that is the cutest puppy name ever, and dog name, of course. So I'm going to get Winston very soon. And when I do, I'm going to make sure and tell you all about him. As always, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Shauna Game. And if you love this podcast, hey, do me a favor, share it with your friends, put it on their phone, make sure that they have subscribed, and head on over to the link in the show notes to leave us a review.